1850-715-815.
Hello, good afternoon. You're very welcome to Liveline. That's Joe at rt.ie. 51551 is a text number, and I want to be able to say this by the end of the program. Wah! I feel good. That's James Brown. I'll tell you the reason. We were contacted by James Brown and is in Cavan. And he said, my son, Rob, left his wallet on the top of his car out in Blanchardstown Shopping Centre on Wednesday and drove off. He went back and it was gone, but it arrived by post this morning, Friday the 13th, in a jiffy bag. Not a cent missing, license, credit card. My son, Robert, was shopping in Blanche. Everything was in the wallet, including the scan of his unborn baby due in December. All his credit cards, his driving license, really important at the minute with COVID, ID, bank cards, Revolut cards. And the cash was still there. And he just wants to thank whoever on Wednesday. I don't have a time here on Wednesday when it happened. But if you were in Blanchardstown Shopping Centre on Wednesday, and if you found the wallet, he presumes when he drove off, the wallet fell to the ground. And you sent it to Rob Brown, whose father is James Brown. We want you to contact us because he wants to find a good Samaritan. And there's more background to the story, and there's more good news. And good news came at last for James and his family, another issue which we'll talk about later. But anyway, if you were in Blanchardstown Shopping Centre on Wednesday of this week in West Dublin, and you found a wallet, and the wallet was to Rob Brown, And I haven't disclosed everything that was in the wallet, so we know if it's a genuine person when they contact us. And you took the effort, made the effort to get out the address, get a jiffy bag, pay for the postage and send it to them. And it arrived this morning. We want to hear from you. OK, not a good Samaritan story, but a difficult story and a warning to people. Christina Bourne. Christina, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You've been close. Thanks for making the call as well. Yeah, I knew you were going to say thanks for taking the call. You've been close for 18 months. You run a B&B in Kennedy County, Offaly, wonderful Kennedy, the Silver River, Sleep Blue Mountains in the background. It's called Ardmore House. And you wanted to promote the area. What happened?
Well, Joe, over the lockdown, I was redoing my website and on my website, I put in places and things to do. So I was looking for a photograph of Clonmac Noise. And I Googled Clonmac Noise. And an image came up saying Clonmac Noise, Ireland Highlights. Images may be subject to copyright. And learn more. And when you learn more, it just explains what copyright is. Mm-hmm. But it didn't say, it said, this photograph may be subject to copyright. It didn't say that it was a copyright. And I didn't go into that website. I was anxious to get my website, and I didn't look properly. And I used a photograph on my website.
Ah, okay.
Along with others,
it's a photograph of Clonmac Noise.
Yeah.
But surely they're ten a penny.
Yeah, I had lots of photographs of myself that I could have used, and I have now have them up there.
Okay, so you put up the image of Clonmac Noise.
Yeah.
Innocently, though you did read the thing about cars. So what happened?
I received an email on the 15th of July from a German solicitor stating because I posted a photograph on my website, I breached copyright of a photographer.
Okay.
And the photographer was Stefan Schnibbelt. And they wanted me to sign a contract, a cease and desist contract, and pay damages. Now, the cease and desist contract was that if anybody copied that photograph from my website, they could claim that it came through me and that every time that that would happen, I'd have to pay a penalty of €5,200.
My God.
And they also wanted me to pay the legal fees and damages to the photographer.
So how much would that bill be?
That was another €1,500.
So for you using this photograph of Clonmac Noise, as I say, they're 10 a penny, and it's not 10 a penny, it's going to cost you well over 5,000.
Yeah, yeah.
And the legal letter, are they threatening to bring you to court or...?
They're telling me if I don't pay this, or sign this contract and don't pay the legal fees by the 23rd of August that they will take me to court. And they're saying that the court will be in Germany. According to EU law.
And the letter says, Dear Sir or Madam, I hereby notified you, it's a long letter, but I'm only reading this thing of it at the end of solicitor's letter. I hereby notify you that I was entrusted to represent the legal interests of the photographer Stefan Schnellbelt, Winschlager Strasse, Offenburg in Germany in this specific matter. And Mike Massey, as attorney, hereby verified I'm duly authorized to act in this matter. In the name and on the authority of my client, I must inform you the following state of affairs. My client was made aware by photoclaim.com. Oh, there's a website. That you have published a photograph taken by my client on the website under the URL. Kennedy.com. It's Kennedy County, Offaly. Places to visit. With this act of publication, you violated the copyright of my citizen, of my client, and the matter is produced. And then there's another two pages saying what act you've deemed broken, and have you offered to pay them some money?
I wrote back to them and I contacted the photographer to see how much the license fee was. He has a license. He licensed the photograph for 1 year on my website at a cost of €275 for one photograph. So. I offered to pay that amount on a condition that they proved the photograph was copyright and that they would let me know that they also had permission from the OPW and that they would also use that they had that permission.
Because, as we discovered a few weeks ago when Sinn Féin up in Donegal, they organised this stunt, but they photographed something, they photographed themselves and a banner inside an OPW heritage site. And we were immediately told by the Minister, Patrick O'Donovan, that it was illegal to take photographs without permission of any of our heritage sites. So Clonmacnoise is one of our foremost heritage sites. Did this Stefan, did he get permission, I wonder?
Well, he hasn't. And in the letters that they've written back to me, they haven't answered that part of the condition that I brought in and paying this amount of money.
And we've been on to Stefan and we've been on to Marcin Zielinski, who is the Reichenwald attorney. We have all the numbers are here to see can we sort it out, basically. Are you worried?
I am really worried. I've had many sleepless nights over this.
Oh, my God. What, you think your business could fold because of this?
Oh, well, it won't help. It's sure difficult won't. Enough to pay bills without having a big mess.
So the bill they're looking for, at the minute, have you totted it up, Christina? How much do they want from the Ardmore Country House B&B? How much do they want?
Well, if the cease and desist contract that they want to sign, it could be $5,200 each time they say somebody shared it from my website. I don't know how they would know that, yeah. But like, and then $1,500 along with that, it could go on forever.
But why did they not submit in this long letter, this long, very detailed letter? I wonder, is it, this is what this law firm do? Why didn't they submit the actual permission, the written permission from the OPW they got to take, or Stefan Schnellbelt got to take the photograph?
Well, this Surely. Particular photographer specialises in taking photographs of Ireland.
Yeah,
and
good man,
this
yeah.
photo claim, well, all for sale through websites and calendars and pictures and everything like
could
that.
Could you not have gone over to Clonmacnoise yourself and taken a photograph of Clonmacnoise in the distance?
I know. I can do it. Go in on the site. They're free at the moment.
And your website is Kennedy.com.
Yeah, and I have the photographs I have on it. You must say for the OPW, images courtesy of the OPW, and I have done that now. I was under pressure to finish my website.
Okay, I understand. Try and get back up on your feet. And no one in the current world we live in, no one would begrudge you that. So you've Kennedy Castle, you've Clonmacnoise, and don't you have a pyramid in Kennedy?
We have. And
you see, not many people know that.
And the only B&B in the world where you can see a pyramid from.
You can see the pyramid, the Kennedy Pyramid, from your house.
From my house, yeah.
And you know the history of the pyramid?
Yes, it was built in 1830 by the Bernards of Kennedy Castle, who were those six members of their family buried there. And they also built my house as a doctor's residence in the second part of the 1800s.
Wow. And the Kennedy Pyramid is the exact replica of the Egyptian Pyramid of Cheop.
Yeah, so they say.
And is there any other pyramids in Ireland?
Well, there's another pyramid in Lochbora Parklands, which was built
But none as
a
old.
Modern one.
But none as old as 1830.
I don't think so. No.
It's incredible. I've been to it. It's an incredible sight. And did you put a photograph of the Kennedy Pyramid on your?
I did.
Oh,
I,
good
I,
woman. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I promote the area on my website.
Well done. Well done. Okay. Where's? I thought we had a photographer. We have a photographer, Paddy. Where's Paddy, the photographer? We have a photographer who's apparently well versed in this. But I'd love to know. See, we've got on to the OPW, and I think they said under GDPR they can't tell us if. But surely, if they give licenses, there'll be a number underneath it. You know what I mean? Licensed by OPW, 24/7/90. Paddy Cummins, Paddy.
How are we?
And how do you think Christina's issue is going to develop? It's not looking good, is it?
Well, to be honest, the simplest solution would be to contact the photographer and try and arrange a suitable fee.
Yeah, but she's offering him 275.
I don't know what would be a fair amount. Like, the photographer earns a living from her pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what his license fee is, €275. That's what I have.
But he won't accept it. Solicitors won't accept it.
Well, solicitors mightn't, but the photographer themselves might.
The solicitor, or this company, PhotoClaim, have set up this business for for photographers to be able to make them, and they're doing this all over Europe. I have researched it on the internet, and they're making these claims all over Europe.
Yeah, but all they're doing is tracking down images that have been used without permission. So
yeah.
It is the photographer's work.
I understand.
And Paddy,
that.
Paddy, what type of photojournalism do you do?
Generally, news and courts.
And how do you keep track of your photographs?
A lot of the time, for my own exclusive work, I'll set up an alert through Google so that when an image is published using a publication or online news service or whatever. I'll get an email from Google to tell me that.
And how do you, but Paddy, say it's a photograph of someone coming out of court. We talk about today, like in the news, the monk or whatever, Jerry Hutch. How do I know it's your photograph? Because there's a thousand photographs of Jerry Hutch not going around.
But with the alerts that we give you, well, with Google, the alerts that you're given a link to the online usage.
Yeah, but how can I not say? Well, hang on, I was standing beside Paddy. I took that photograph.
You could put that claim, but everybody knows their own work. When a photographer, like, as an example, I took a picture in 2013 of a guy that is regarded, or it was claimed that he's the largest child porn facilitator on the planet, Eric Owen Marquez.
Mm-hmm.
Image has been used extensively over the years.
And are you the only one that got a photograph of him?
It's not the best of pictures, but it's the only kind of face picture of him.
Okay, well done. And was he not extradited recently?
He was extradited last year and is expected to be sentenced next month.
So every time that photograph is used, you're alerted by PhotoClaim?
I've Google set up for that. So I will get I'll get a link sent to me by Google.
And you have to invoice the.
You have to track down the owner of the website or the person that owns that runs the website and contact them and then try and send them an invoice.
And then they tell you to get lost.
A lot of the time you will be ignored, and sometimes it does require a solicitor's letter before people pay attention.
And is it the circulation or the viewership or listenership? Well, obviously listenership doesn't matter, it's a photograph. Would it be the circulation or the viewership of a website, newspaper or TV station that would dictate the price that you're going to charge them?
Generally, no.
What you have a flat fee?
On the images that I send out, I put in the IPTC data that unauthorized usage is €10,000. But generally, I'm open to facilitating genuine errors. But if somebody has done it multiple times to me, then. The matter is just passed on to legal.
Okay, and have you managed? How have you got on?
The vast majority of the time, I've never had a case go to court.
Okay. People do pay up.
Yeah. Anybody that engages has generally paid up because okay. anybody that ignores you basically pushes this legal, and it's a lot of the time it's not worth the.
How long does it take, if you were to go to court in Dublin, which I presume is where you'd have to go, how long would it take before you get a hearing?
You could be looking at 2-3 years.
Oh, for God's sake. And have you ever heard of this legal company?
Heard of them a few years back.
Oh, have you? So great. Yeah, that's interesting.
If my memory's right, they're based in Poland, but operate under German law.
Well, they say they're based in Offenburg. Where's Offenburg? I thought Offenburg was in Germany.
It's registered in Poland.
Well, it's registered, okay. And Tony Morphy is a counsellor, an independent counsellor in Fingal. Tony.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
What's happened? How are you involved in this?
Well, it struck me when I just listened to the show there, and the same guy, Stefan Snowbelt, got in touch with me when I used an image of Ardgillan Castle, which is property in the ownership of Fingal County Council.
Beautiful, beautiful Ardgillan Castle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fabulous space. Everyone should visit it at some stage. Anyway, I just put it up on my Facebook page as one of the images on the front of the page. I did note, as your other caller had suggested, that there was a note to suggest that maybe they have a copyright. And I couldn't find anything to suggest that this particular image did have, so I used it.
Okay.
And within, I'd say, it took about 3 or 4 months it had been up.
Okay.
And that was part of, I think, the rationale that was used in order to put the charge against me, because Stefan was able to tell me when it went up, how long it was up, and then looked for $5,000 and a desist document as well to be signed. So I actually sent that to my solicitor for some support on it to see exactly what we should do.
And what did your solicitor say?
Well, I used a local solicitor, Donald McGann, and he then engaged a barrister who has some smarts in copyright in this area.
Okay.
So the advice was that we could make an offer to pay this guy, and the other query was, which again your other caller suggested the same, to ask if he had permission from Fingal County Council to take the image.
Okay.
Needless to say, I sent over, just going back to 2020, December 2020, I sent him €200 in a draft.
Okay.
I considered with a letter, covering letter, as fair payment for the use of his image.
Yeah. And you were hoping that'd be the end of it?
Well, he hasn't come back to me.
Okay, but that's we're now in the middle of 2021, but
yeah,
it's only 6 months. And was he looking for 5K as well?
5,000, yeah. So it's interesting that
just because you put it up on your Facebook page, and if you have any idea, do Fingal County Council, did they give permission for the photograph to be taken and to be used, to be sold, basically?
Well, we had a conversation on that, and there was a time when Fingal would look for a charge if the area or the castle was being used for photographs or weddings internally, but not externally. But he would not have asked them for their permission, because I'm certain of that.
But you could have taken your own photographs only with your phone.
I could have.
And you wouldn't be here. I don't want to detail, but I presume you have to pay the barrister.
Yeah, there's a charge. Yeah.
John Whelan. Stay there, Tony, if you would, please. That's Councillor John Whelan. Councillor Tony Morphy. John Whelan, good afternoon.
How you doing, Joe?
What's the mistake? You're a graphic designer. What's the mistake people make?
Basically, Joe, people, what they do is, and I have had clients in the past who've gone on to search engines and put in, like, Clonmacnoise or Fingal, and they've seen an image that they like on one of these search engines.
Okay.
And they would normally send it to me and say, can you put that on my leaflet or on my website or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And I would generally ask, is this your image?
All right.
And preferably, they always come back and say no. So I would direct them in to stay away from those kind of images that are on search engines, because they could have been put up on an image sharing site,
okay,
like Pinterest or something like that. And when you do a search through the search engines, those images will pop up. And people take it for granted that these images are free. But they're not, unfortunately. You know, somebody has taken that image, somebody has gone to the trouble of putting it up on an image sharing site, and it has been picked up. What it usually ends up happening is that the person who owns the photograph, the photographer who took it, will look for compensation because that image has been used commercially. So what I would do as a graphic designer, I would point people in the right direction to go to a stock image site, and there's lots of them out there.
Stock
image.
And
to go into one of these sites, look for a particular image in Ireland, like Clonmacnoise, and then select that image and pay the fee that's appropriate to their use. So, for instance, if a person wanted to put an image up on a website of Clonmacnoise, there's a small fee to be paid.
Okay.
With regards to how much you can pay for that image, it could be anything from around €20 to €100 for the image. And then there's a proviso that's put in that the image would be credited to the image sharing site or to the photographer's name. That way then the photographer is happy because he's going to get paid. The host site has been paid, and you are safe to use that image.
Okay. But when you say go on to stock image site, can you use their stock images for free?
You can, provided you acknowledge the photographer who's taken it. So if you go on to a stock image site and look for a photograph of the River Liffey, there might be 100 or so images.
Yeah, easily.
And associated with that is a reference number. That reference number will be associated, would come back to tell you who the photographer is. It could be Joe Duffy who took the photograph. It'll give the date, it'll give his details. And when you pay that site for the use of the image, or if you want to use it for free, there is a proviso in there that you accredit that image to the photographer with a link to his or her website.
And you, as a graphic designer, don't know what type of graphic designer you are, John, but does it happen to you that your designs, images, typography, whatever is...
My end of graphic design is graphic design for print media.
Okay.
So although I do a little bit of web design with another partner of mine, but quite often when people are looking for an image, say, of a tourism site, and they want to promote their tourism site, they will use general images of tourist sites around Dublin or around Ireland. And they will always send me images of, you know, the Cliffs of Moher, the River Liffey, you know, the Halfpenny Bridge, all of those kind of images. And I am immediately warned off, because I've had clients who have come back to me and say, geez, you never told me that these guys can come back after me for the use of these images.
So are people not better in the world we live in, where camera phones are high resolution, and people not better trying to take their own photograph?
100%, Joe. If you take your own photograph to be put up on your website, I would advise people to copyright that image to you. So if you go down to the River Liffey this evening, you take a nice sunset image going up the Liffey, and you put it up on your website, it's accredited to you.
Okay.
That way then, if somebody takes that image and uses it, you can then say, well, hang on a second, that's my image. You can certainly purchase it off me.
So if Christine...
I've had people who have been, looking for 1,000, 5,000, up to about €12,000 in one case for an image that was used.
But so if Christine had just gone across and taken a photograph of Clonmacnoise in the distance herself, she wouldn't be losing sleep and facing a bill of 5,000 plus?
Correct.
From this German
slaughter.
If she goes
along and takes a nice photograph...
Oh, I know that now. Yeah.
If you take a nice photograph yourself of the area that you live in, or the area that you want to photograph...
And John, sorry, I'm going to be...
Yeah, if she accredited it to herself on the website, you know, to say that, she took it, this image, this is copyrighted to her image, she is somewhat protected. But, you know, there's images that are used on websites all over the place, Joe, that belong to other people, and there's lawsuits that are taking place under copyright law, under European copyright law. you cannot just take somebody's image off a search engine and use it for commercial purposes.
Christine, I don't know whether you're good with a pencil or watercolour. If Christina did a drawing of Clan MacNoise...
100%. Again, Joe, it's her drawing. It's her artistic.
Wow, you see.
It's her artistic.
Okay, let me bring in... Say that, John, please. John, sure, we must at some stage talk about crimes against typography in Ireland. It's gone out of control. It's out of control, crimes against people don't understand typography at all. Ray McManus, the legendary Ray McManus for Sportsfile. Been a photographer for more years, Ray, than you care to remember. Okay, what's the story? If anyone knows this business, you do.
Well... I have 18 people here working in Sportsfile.
Wow.
And they all put out their hand at the 18th of the month every month and say, Ray, cough up again.
Okay, yeah.
and the way photographers earn their money is by selling images. Now, just people don't realise, there's a number of words you could use. Theft, robbery, whatever you like.
Mistake. Lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
Mistake is okay, but I wouldn't use it quite that much because, you know, if I wasn't to pay my television license, you know, is it a mistake or is it theft?
No, I think most people know you have to pay a TV license.
Well, I think most people should realise that, you know, photographers don't live on fresh air.
Of course. And Ray, do you think of Christine?
I have paid a photographer, Paul Moore, local photographer, to take photographs of my premises for my website, and I quite understand that they have to make a living. And I have friends who've taken photographs for me. I've taken photographs myself. I've offered to pay what he would have lost in the licence fee. I didn't.
Yeah, just under 300 quid.
To be fair, Joe, I wouldn't say that the heavy-handed sort of attacking with large money, I'm not saying that that's correct either.
No, okay.
But the people have to realise that photographers have to be paid.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here, as it happens, listening to your programme, and I'm working on a book we do, A Season of Sundays, every year.
A brilliant
now,
book, yeah.
We do this book every year on Gaelic games particularly. And while I'm just still working on the 25th edition at the moment. If that goes into a shop, people can't just walk in and lift it up and walk out again.
That's true,
so
of course.
It's the same thing. You know, we produce 200 photographs in this book every year. And it's put on sale. And thankfully, we have a sponsor, you know, who helps to reduce the price somewhat. You know, Carol's in Tullamore help us. But ultimately, people pay for this book. And they pay for the use of the pictures. And they pay to see the pictures. And by the way...
Ray, in fairness, what do you think of Christina's offer to pay?
Oh, in fairness, that's fine. That's very, 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 fair offer.
And let that,
I would agree that the heavy-handedness... I've had to use the heavy-handedness myself at times because sometimes people just don't pay. Like if you take the recent Olympics, we had more pictures, I'd say, stolen than we had paid for.
Explain that. But don't name any names. But
But like I had four staff out at the Olympic Games. They're sending back pictures. We have people working 24 hours a day to make sure that our pictures are available here, there, and everywhere.
Okay.
So then somebody comes along and says, "Oh, there's a lovely picture of say." Some inner city athlete who might have won a medal, very nice medal, and say, oh, well, I'll put that up on my site or I'll put it up on my Twitter account or I'll put it up on whatever. But they don't realise that I'm paying those four people out there to get that photograph. So even if I only got 50 quid for it, or if I got a tenner for it, or if I got 100 for it, the point is that people don't realise that the copyright is to the photographer until 50 years after their death. It's not today or tomorrow.
Hopefully.
Well, if I had known the photograph was copyright, I wouldn't have used it. Because I understand people have to pay.
And that's a fair point.
But Ray,
if they had contacted me and said it was, I would have removed it.
It was a mistake.
But look,
ignorance of the law is no excuse. For example, the woman of the moment, the person of the moment, Kelly...
Yeah.
Like, if you use her photograph, is she entitled to anything?
That's an interesting point. In an editorial context, no, she's not. but she would know the conditions. And like some of the conditions, for example, in the Olympics, like you're not allowed, if you were a sponsor, for example,
okay,
if you were a sponsor, you're not allowed to put a logo on a picture of hers. You know, there's, when she's in the team, she's in the team. Mm. It's editorial use only. And to be fair, your listener there, or your contributor,
is there any sporting code now that we have you, Ray? First of all, did you pay the International Olympic Committee to pay a photographer?
No, because we go there in an editorial context.
Okay, that's right? Good. That's so, good. Okay, so, is there any Irish sporting organisation that charge you to go in and take photographs, say at a training session?
No, have heard in the UK that it has, one or two have tried to introduce it, but you know, there's a bit of a catch 22 here. A lot of people would depend on the publicity, and it's a quid pro quo. We attend, we publicise the event, we sell the event. You know, but it's used in an editorial context. Now, if we wanted to use a picture we had of an athlete in an advertisement or in something like that,
of course, you'd have to pay. Yeah.
Well, perhaps not us, but the person who the end would use.
Joe, this particular photographer also, he focuses on a lot of OPW websites, and they charge for commercial photography.
Why won't we say, where show us the certificate from the OPW?
That's a different issue, Joe.
Well, what's the issue there then, Ray?
Well, two wrongs don't make a right.
Oh, well.
No, but hang on, if
well, yeah, I'll you don't, you this you don't, way. When you, we're hang taking on, pictures, hang on. No, no, we no, make sure we have permission.
No, what I'm saying is, should Stefan be able to prove to Christina that he had permission to take the photograph?
I don't know that. I'm not versed in that to comment.
Okay. John Whelan.
In a lot of the images that I would see on site from photographers, and particularly local guys, when they put up a photograph that might have a very, very certainly strong local interest, and they put a watermark on it. So you know, if you want to take that photograph, you can actually go back and ask the person, can I actually have an original or a copy of that photograph? And I think that what's happening here, in my opinion, is that this is a situation where photographs are being put up, people are almost, sort of say, teased to take them, and then when they do so, they have to pay a ransom to somebody in order to be able to use them. I've certainly done exactly what that lady has suggested. Mm-hmm. Well, I took it down, I apologised, I done everything, and I offered a payment, and absolutely under no circumstances would I be looking to use anybody's photograph for nothing, and would gladly pay photographers to work for me and to give me some of their work, and I appreciate some of the amazing photographs that are taken by professional photographers.
Okay.
In this situation, I think we need some protection within the realm of the law around internet photographs.
Councillor Tony Murphy wants to come back in there. Tony? Ray, your final point, Ray.
Yeah, I jest somewhat as I need to get back to this book, but if I go over to the spar across the road, is it okay to tell the district justice that I didn't mean to take three loads?
I take that point,
You know,
but I think most people know to go into a shop and walk out without paying for something.
Well, unfortunately, people need to realise.
I know, and that's why we're trying to educate people, Ray.
And in fairness, you've done a good job.
And not ever as skillful as your photographers, Ray. Your award-winning photographers, including yourself. Well done, Photographer of the Year, a number of occasions. Christina,
Joe.
we've found another pyramid. It's in the Neil in County Mayo. In the Joyce Country Geopark. Now, I don't think it beats the pyramid in Kennedy because it's a stepped pyramid. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
But have a look. Sounds incredible. The Neil Mayo, never heard of it. Well, there's a staycation as well as Kennedy. Walk the Silver River, go up to Kennedy Castle and stay in the Ardmore Country House B&B. Christina, try not to lose any sleep. Seriously, you've made it. I know it doesn't carry any legal weight, but all the lads there, they are lads to treat, and they all agree that you've made a fair offer.
I really don't know where I'm going to go from here.
Okay, well, we'll try and get onto them in Germany. Okay, don't just go back and do what you're brilliant at. running an award-winning B&B Ardmore in Kennedy. Okay, Christina,
thank
thanks.
Thank you very
thanks,
much, Joe.
Thanks indeed.
Thank you.
Thanks for contacting us. Joe at rt.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
That's James Brown, and this is James Brown. James Brown, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
It's an incredible story. What happened? It was your son, Rob. Give me times, places, as much info as possible.
So my son, Robert, was in Blanchardstown Shopping Centre on Wednesday night.
Wednesday night, okay.
And he came out of the shop. And you know the way you can't try clothes on in the shops anymore?
Yeah, of course.
So
yeah.
He just went to try on a top.
Okay. Before he got into the
car. And before he got into the car, the back of the car. And he got into his car then. Left his wallet on the bonnet.
As you do.
Left his wallet on the bonnet and got to the toll bridge, realised the wallet was missing. Drove back, and the wallet was gone.
Yeah.
And then this morning, he came home from work. He starts at 5. He came in at about 7:30.
Good man.
And there was a jiffy bag.
Yeah.
With the wallet in it and everything intact.
Wow. And everything was lots of sentimental value as well, wasn't it?
Well, I suppose, yeah. Well, I tell you what, there was in a... Well, I tell you the bit, there was a fiver.
Okay, that's the least.
Some loose... Yeah. So obviously he spent all his money. He had a bit of loose change.
Yeah.
And one of the photographs, he had photographs in it, credit cards and his driver's license. And they're expecting their first child in December and a photograph of the first scan.
Okay.
So well,
that's
was
important,
in it,
yeah.
Everything was in it and it was completely intact. No name, no address, no one knows who sent it.
So they would have got the name from the driver's license or whatever.
They got
address.
The name from the driver's license. And
any idea, was it a typed address? Was it a written in marker? Was it children's handwriting or adult's handwriting?
It was written out in black capital letters. And it was just somebody went to the trouble of getting a jiffy bag, put €2.50 stamp on it and sent it away.
Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah. And nothing, no names or nothing, nothing. Don't even know where it was posted from.
Well, it's not fair play to whoever did that now.
Yeah,
it's fair play.
So whoever that kind soul is, so maybe we could, you know, do something in return. Or
okay.
If they don't want to do that, then maybe we can put some money into a charity that they favour.
And you got some other good news last week.
Yeah, well, I had a melanoma about nearly 3 years ago.
Okay, skin.
And... skin, my back. I had a melanoma in my back.
Okay.
And, I've been going to Beaumont Hospital for the last nearly 3 years now.
Wow.
And they took out probably a lump on my back, probably the size of your hand.
Good God.
And they took my lymph nodes from under both armpits. And I was under a surgeon called Fiacre Martin.
Okay.
Who was an incredible man, really. And
what's his name again?
A man called consultant plastic surgeon Fiacre Martin. He passed me over into oncology.
Well done.
So I'm under Professor Grogan there and the incredible nurses who work in oncology.
Great. So you got the good news last week.
So I had a scan yesterday.
Isn't that great?
Great. And then to add to all my good news, my daughter's coming home on Monday.
You have me in floods here. Where is she based?
She's an intensive care nurse based in a London hospital.
Oh, my God, fair. And how long is it since you've seen them, James?
It's August since we nearly a year now since we've seen them.
Wow.
She hasn't been able to come home and she's had a tough 2 years in intensive care.
Oh, I can imagine. Well done and thank you.
So she's coming home on Monday, so... We're all super excited about her coming home, you know.
That consultant is Fiacre Martin, as you said.
Fiacre Martin.
Now, have you got grandchildren?
I have one grandchild, she's 5.
Yeah.
And she's coming home from England as well. And then I have another one on the way.
So it's good news all round to Mr. Browns.
Good news for all round, even though it's Friday the 13th, it's all good.
All round to Mr. Browns. Why do you want James Brown again? What does he say? Can you
the only thing about him is he's still alive.
I know.
So, okay. With regards to the skin cancer, then I'm doing talks. I'm going to start doing talks.
Well, do a little talk here. Come on, use the platform.
Well, I'm doing that. My son works for a company called Riley's Concrete.
Okay.
And I'm going to start doing talks about skin cancer and protecting your skin.
Well done.
How to look after your skin, you know, and what clothing to wear when you're working on building sites and so on. And I'm starting to do that now in a couple of weeks' time.
And you got it on your back. Were you prone to sunbathing or was that from work?
No, the funny thing was, I did work in building sites for many years ago, and I lived in the Channel Islands for years and stuff like that. But
yeah.
I wouldn't be a lover of the sun. Like, when I go out, if I was going on holidays with the wife or anything like that, I would rather sit inside than go out in the sun. Like,
okay, but I got it
anyway.
Yeah.
And it was just the size of a mole at the top of my back, the size of your thumbnail.
Okay, God. But will people check each other, so to speak?
Yeah, well, the most important thing is to check your skin and to... Yeah. What I do now is check my skin. My wife checks my skin, and then we take photographs of any moles that I have, so that you can, in a month's time or 2 months' time, you can look back on them.
Yeah,
make sure
good idea. Very good
no
idea.
Changes, you know
Very
I mean?
Simple idea. Use your phone, get your partner, friend, or children, or whatever, take a photograph of them.
Just record the pictures.
Very good. And maybe when you're taking a photograph, put a little a measurement beside it, a little ruler or something, so you get the size of it.
But
yeah,
if
very good.
Changes in a month or 2 months down the road,
the colour of it or the size of it.
And all you have to do is go to your GP, who will refer you to dermatology, and look, if there's nothing wrong, then it's a good news story.
Okay.
But if there's anything changes or anything like that, 90% of skin cancer is preventable if you get to it early.
Okay, well done. Well done. God, that's an education. Well done to Bianca is the ICU nurse.
Bianca is my daughter. Chloe.
And your wife is called Miriam, and your son is called Rob, and you're going to become a grandfather again, grandparents again in December.
So we're all super excited.
Okay, Wednesday night. And do we think the water fell off the car in Blanche, in the shopping centre?
What he done was he put the wallet on the bonnet of the car when he tried on this new top. He must have got overexcited about the top and just got into the car.
He probably says, I'm only gorgeous in the new top.
Yeah, and away he went. And the wallet fell off.
Okay, so we're looking for the Good Samaritan.
So we're looking for the Good Samaritan. Look, we have no problem. We'll give them something, or we'll do something for
charity.
Them.
Fair play.
And
You're
if they
good.
Don't want to do that, then we'll give it to a charity of their
choice. Right, and that's good news. Good news anyway. James Brown, thanks indeed, James. Well done.
No problem. I feel good.
I love that. Feel Good Friday. All round to Mr. Brown's to say thanks. Thank you, James. Mr. Brown wants to say thanks to everybody.
Thanks
indeed, James. Ali Cox, back to copyright. Your two dogs, Madge and Daphne.
That's right.
Are you serious with those names? They're real names of real people.
Real names, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of a dog called Kevin?
No, but I used to have a ferret called Kevin.
Okay. I remember when I was a probation officer walking into a block of flats one time, and this dog came running at me, and the fella stuck his head over the balcony and shouted, "Kevin! Kevin! Down! Down!" Anyway, your stories. Poor Daphne and Madge. How are Daphne and Madge?
Daphne and Madge are sadly buried here now. They're long gone.
Okay.
I'd taken quite a nice photo of them when Daphne was probably about three and Madge was only a puppy.
Okay.
And just not that long ago, I was looking on Facebook, and they're a breed of dog that I've had for 40 years.
Okay.
And I was looking on Facebook, and somebody had shared I think it was an auction or a raffle or something from the Dandy Dinmont Terrier Club. Rescue League of America.
Okay.
And I just clicked on it to have a wee look, and up pops a whole load of of things like mugs and plates and stuff with this picture on it.
Of Daphne and Madge.
Of Daphne and Madge that I took years ago.
The cheeky gets after robbing it.
Well, actually, I just Googled it.
Okay.
And quite a lot of, if you Google the breed and go onto images, a whole load of pictures come up of them. A whole load of those pictures belong to me. And actually, there's one that's come up on a site called Dog Breed Information, and it's Daphne and Madge again.
Ah, they're famous. Now, are you entitled to any money?
No.
Are you entitled to a mug?
I wouldn't think so, no.
But did they say, did they even give Daphne and Madge a name or a seed, breed and generation?
No, nothing. But, I kind of thought it was quite funny, but I know it's not funny. I have a friend who's a professional photographer in Prague, and she's always going mad about this whole copyright thing. And, you know, I can understand it's a real problem for professional photographers, but I suppose, I don't know. These your photos, once you've got them on the internet, they just seem to kind of circulate everywhere. Yeah. And the other thing that happens, just, you know, on the dog front, a lot of people, you know, these scammers, they will steal people's pictures, especially off Facebook. They'll steal people's pictures of their puppies and dogs, and they'll put up fake adverts.
Right.
And they're scammers. That's how they get people to pay for these puppies, and they don't exist.
And did you know when Daphne and Madge were alive, God rest, well, that they were particularly beautiful examples of, what breed are they again?
Dandy Dinmont Terriers. They're a very, very old Scottish
Dandy
breed
Dandy Dinmont
dog.
Terrier, okay.
Yeah.
But were you aware that, I know everyone thinks their dog is the best thing in the world, but were you aware that Madge and Daphne were...
Nice. Well, it's quite a nice photograph. They're... Dandy Dinmonts come in two colours.
Okay.
And they're called mustard and pepper. And the mustard ones are a lovely gold kind of colour, and they have what you call a top knot. And they're kind of blonde and gold. And they are a very attractive dog. And I happened to take the picture of them on a sofa, and the background was just a fluffy, goldy-coloured fleece. So it's quite a nice photo, that's all. And
they're a lovely little dog, yeah.
Yeah, Madge is kind of cocking her head, and she's only a puppy.
And they've lovely puppy eyes, haven't they? It melts,
big eyes. Yeah, big eyes, big feet.
Will you send us in a photograph of the two of them, and we can tweet it just for our listeners?
I will, yeah.
Just so they can see
it,
Dandy Dinmont. Have you dogs at the minute?
Oh, yes. I'm the only person really that does dandies, as they say in Ireland. I've had them for 40 years, as I say, and I'm very much involved with the
Caledonian. And what age do they live until?
Well, Daphne lived until she was 15. She was a great old girl, they're a good, healthy breed, which is nice. They're because they've never become too popular. You know, there was only 80 registered last year in the whole of Britain and Ireland.
Why is that?
Well, like a lot of terrier breeds, they've the older terrier breeds, a bit like the Glenavimals, the Irish ones, and they were just never. Never became that popular, and originally they were dogs that were working dogs. And I suppose because then it's the vicious circle about they're not seen, so, people aren't seeing them. And so they just don't, you wouldn't want them to become over popular, but the club that I'm involved with, we do a lot of work to try and promote them a bit and get them out and seen and get people to.
And what did you say? You've another animal called. What's it, the ferret or the hamster? What did you tell me?
Oh, Kevin.
Kevin.
I used to have ferrets and polecats. They're all long dead too.
Okay. Have you any pets left?
Oh God, yes. Yes.
How many?
Oh, loads. I've got tatans.
Tatans, okay.
There's Morty, Milo. There's Ruth. There's Olive. There's a whole heap of them here now. I'm not short of them. I've got Rita and Gloria.
And are they all dogs?
Yes.
Are they all Dandy Dinmonts?
They're all Dandy Dinmonts. So we also I do dog rescue as well, and at the minute we've got two called Ronnie and Reggie Cray. They're two inmates at the moment. Okay. They're two Jack Russells.
Okay. Well done for being such an animal lover, Ali. That's Ali Cox. I won't say where Ali is because I don't want anyone going near your Dandy Din monster. Gorgeous.
No, thank you.
Send us in those photographs if you would, and we'll get the lads to tweet them. Thanks indeed, Ali Cox. Back to the copyright photograph and the German solicitors looking for $5,000 and off our listener Christina down in Kennedy, and she's up the walls. She can't sleep a wink in her B&B because it was just a photograph she used of Clan McNice. Des McDermott's in our Armagh. Des, good afternoon. What happened?
Hey, Joe.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, Joe, I mean, I just heard Christine there and the state that she's in. I can tell her she should relax. She has nothing to worry about. I used to run a publishing company, and one of my graphics designers, and I heard the graphics designer on there with you,
okay.
Accidentally, well, he used it. He used an image of an old pump. Remember the old pumps that used to be on the side of the road with the curly handle on them?
Yeah, yeah.
Ancient.
Oh, beautiful, yeah.
Happened to use one of those in an editorial that we actually did. And, of course, we were contacted by the photographer. He was actually a photographer from Cork. And he tried absolutely everything he possibly could to prove that we used it in, because we did. We used to do publications. We were contracted to the Regional Tourist Authority with North and South. Condor Publishers, the name of the company. And again, because we hadn't it in a publication, and this is the point I made to your researcher there, it doesn't matter if you know, we fought it all the way and he settled outside of court.
Okay.
And the reason being, because there was no financial gain. Now, I understand the gentleman spoke about having the books and you wouldn't go in and lift the books. Of course, that's understandable because there's revenue been generated from the use of images in that. But there was no, as far as Christine's concerned, there's no revenue been generated
in one sense she is, because she's using the photograph to advertise her business.
Well, it's to advertise the location. I mean, it's no different than the editorial that we used. It was for a location as well. So, you know, we didn't actually have that in a particular... there was no direct financial gain, is what I'm saying. If we had had that in one of our publications...
But Stefan, in fairness to Stefan, Stefan took the photo. Well, he's saying, and we have to believe him, obviously, Stefan is saying, that's my photograph. I went to the trouble of...
Yeah, and I think she did a very fair offer by offering him €300.
I think
very fair, because literally what we did, we gave him exposure as far as photographer on a few of our information points. I think it was four or five, as well as the €300. But I wouldn't, if I were her, I wouldn't be sweating on it. I'd let them see what they come back with the €300, and I wouldn't think of any response from them.
And by the way, did you have to pay legal costs?
No.
No, okay. Well done, Des. Okay, Des. Des McDermott. joe@rte.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Is Wally there? Is Wally there that way there?
Yes.
Well, Wally, you're on WhatsApp, Wally. Brilliant. Wally,
I am. Yeah.
Wally, good afternoon. Wally Siddiqui, well known restaurant you run, very popular D Grill in Angel Street in Dublin. Wally, I'm so sorry what's happening to your country, and your family are still in Afghanistan.
Yes. My family, my mother and my sister and brothers are still in Afghanistan at the moment. Yeah.
And tell us where are they and what's the situation for them?
The situation are, you know, as the news are showing everywhere, they're really incredible because Taliban are capturing or taking over each province each time and every hours. So there is no social life. There is no electricity powers. Then there is no education in schools or universities are closed. Especially ladies cannot go without the man out, or even no matter they are going to hospital or shopping or anything. Unfortunately, I'm keep contacting with them and every couple of hours. So the situation in country are not really like sustainable.
And what have they any options, Wally, in terms of leaving?
No, to be honest with you, they don't have option where they could leave, because not easy to leave as well.
I understand.
Whoever was working with the Americans or NATO's troops, they could leave. They take them out. Otherwise, the civilians they cannot leave. So unfortunately, and the Taliban has, they are non-educated people, and they are just talking about the Islam. Unfortunately, they are like a painted Islam, showing to the world and to the people. So inside, the media are not allowed to raise or to bring the public's voice out or to publish.
What is it like for your family in Afghanistan to know that the Taliban are coming?
We had actually experience in early, like early 2000. So the Taliban has never changed, and they didn't change since that.
Well, people live in fear of them, I presume.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. People are leaving and approaching. Most of the people are moving to the capital.
Dawei Roshan is in Waterford.
That's right, yep.
And Dawei, what's your situation? Have you family still in Afghanistan?
Thank you, Joe, for having me anyway. They're all in Afghanistan and they live in the north of Kabul. Yeah.
Okay. And are they, how far away are the Taliban?
They're not too far, probably about 50 kilometers or 40. They're not too far, yeah.
Well, 50 kilometers from Dublin is Arklow.
So
that's... And are your family worried or terrified or what?
They're terrified, honestly. They're not only my family. I mean, most of the people, they live any part of Afghanistan. They're really terrified, particularly in the north, when the Taliban, they took over Afghanistan in 95 or 96. And they took over the north and they had a lot of fight over there. And so many Taliban were killed, and so many Taliban killed so many people in the north. So that's the biggest problem and the biggest fear, that people think that the same scenario will exactly will happen again. So that's why they are really worried. Yeah.
And Dawei, what do you think of what President Joe Biden said, that we're supplying arms, we're paying the forces, but the Afghanis have got to unite and defend?
Well, first of all, there's something we have to say. Okay, he is right in one way. Okay, we have to unite against something we call now Taliban. So everybody. But the problem is, okay, Afghanistan is a divided country. This divided means so many people, they have a lot of empty sympathy with the Taliban, particularly people living in the south, and people live in Peshawar in Pakistan. They have a lot of sympathy with the Taliban. They help Taliban. They help their soldiers. Mm. They send even money for them, and to fight. This is the biggest problem. And what Joe Biden said, he is right. They spend a lot of money to make an army for Afghanistan. This is Afghan politicians' fault. They didn't use it. And it's unfortunately Afghanistan is too divided at the moment. And the deal with the Taliban American made, this is the biggest, probably the biggest mistake, or I think I call it a shameful deal. Mm-hmm. Because they left Afghanistan like this and they leave everything for the Taliban. And this is why people have no courage to fight against the Taliban. When ordinary soldiers see the Taliban leader in Qatar, in the hotels, they are talking with American general or American diplomat talking with the Taliban in Qatar, then they say, why we have to fight? Why we have to fight? Because there is Americans, there is the Taliban. They're negotiating. They're friends with each other. So why we have to fight? That's why is the government losing power in Afghanistan. And also, inside the government official, for example, some of the governors, some of the even general or minister, they have a lot of sympathy with the Taliban inside the government. So this is how divided the country is at the moment.
And do you think Trump was wrong to trust the Taliban when he did that deal with them last year?
I think this will... history will remember this. History will remember this. A big failure for America. Okay, a big failure for America. Because they came to Afghanistan to fight against Al-Qaeda and against Taliban. Okay, yeah. That's what the reason they came. And they gave a lot of money for education and to build universities and to build hospitals.
Okay.
And their soldiers were killed in Afghanistan. At the same time, so now we are fighting against, we're fighting something called values, human values, which is very important. And the Western diplomats and politicians, they have to know this war is not about how much money we make. This war is about human values that we are living in the world. Because, for example, my niece, she was in the university. Okay, my nephew, she was in the university. She finished university.
Okay.
They were very happy, although they had no job.
Yeah.
But they were happy they finished university. What the Taliban wants? The Taliban, when the Taliban take the country, they will close the university.
I know.
They close the school for the girls.
They're savagely anti-women.
Yeah. They have no values for the woman, education. They have no...
So what do you think should happen? The Americans are gone. They lost nearly 2,500 troops, were killed. Joe Biden said we spent $1 trillion. Trump did a deal last year with the Taliban, and he believed him. No surprise there. And but Joe Biden followed through, and he did say they'd be out by September, the end of September, and they are gone. Well, what do you think should happen now, Dawie?
Well, I mean, in my idea, okay, we forget what happened in the past 20 years, okay? At the moment, as I said, we are fighting with values, okay?
Yeah.
I want to give a little information about the Taliban, okay? Their belief is different, okay?
Yeah, I know.
Their belief is what they believe. They believe to have 3 or 4 wives, okay? Can you believe that?
Yeah.
No. They believe to capture one area, to marry 12 years, 14 years girl for their soldiers.
I know.
Okay. They believe if they capture a woman, they rape the woman. Okay. They believe if they capture a prisoner, they kill the prisoner. Okay. Even if they say, okay, we're not fighting, but they kill them. So that's what they believe. So what is our duty? What will happen now? Okay. We know Afghan government is totally corrupt because, you know why? Because goes around with the American and the Taliban deal. And nobody even believed 5 years ago this government will stay because they knew that there is something going on with the Taliban American. So at the moment, in my idea, the best thing is this government, anything is, it is corrupt or anything, it's better, 100 times better than the Taliban. Because we have a system over there. We have university, we have system, we have embassies over there. Tomorrow, if I want to go to Afghanistan, I have to go in Afghanistan. How do I go to Afghanistan? So at the moment, it's not something really late. Okay, we can control it, particularly American.
Hmm.
I think I heard that they're going to send another 6,000 troops. Okay, this will definitely help some kind of encouragement for the Afghan soldiers to stay and fight with the Taliban.
So you think the Americans, and indeed, well, the British are sending in, I think, 300 troops today, but that's mainly to extricate people from the embassy and that. But do you think the Americans should go back in?
No, I'm not. Well, they've been in Afghanistan for 20 years, okay? They would not do again this mistake, okay? They would not do it, okay? But what we have to do, the thing is, this government, if the government collapses, because there is a problem, a lack of encouragement. Nobody fight. It's a defeat. In a defeat situation, I've been exactly the same situation 25 years ago when the Taliban came. It's a defeat. When you defeat, you lose control, you lose everything, you just run.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the situation now.
And civilian deaths, nearly 40,000 civilians. It's just shocking. Let me go back to Wally again. Wally, what do you hope will happen? What do you wish to happen?
My hopes. I hope the United Nations and American plus British or NATO, they should think deeply about what's coming and what's going on.
Okay.
And another thing is, it's a shameful deal they have done what under the table, what Taliban, nobody knows, especially Afghan people or people all around the world.
How would anyone trust the Taliban? But anyway, that was the stock and trade of the previous administration, but the current administration have stuck with it. Okay, Wali Siddiqui and Dawei Roshan, kind regards to you both and your family at this awful time for your wonderful, wonderful country going through such awful, awful turmoil. Thank you both.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Back to who owns photographs and who owns photographs of different people. Christina Crotty, what did you discover?
I had a few photographs of my grandfather, and I was doing some kind of artwork on it.
Okay.
So I couldn't figure out the rifle. So I went on for the rifle. It was an NP something or other.
Okay.
And I came across on one of these stock sites. I came across my grandfather.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of half complained. I said, that's a picture of my family member, my granddad.
Okay.
And they got back to me by email and said, well, you can buy it for license of whatever and wherever. Now, I have an original one at home. And they said €93, €96.
To buy a photograph of your granddad?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And are you sure? What pose is he in?
Oh, he was at City Hall in Dublin in 1922. He was first guard of City Hall, and he was standing on the steps with a rifle. But at that time he didn't wear a uniform. Afterwards he did, because he was with Collins, and he kind of wore a long leather coat and a soft hat. But there he is standing there now with the rifle. And
but who owns the photograph? Whoever took the photograph?
Well, I'd say the press took it, and they probably bought bulk negatives from the press. But
how do you prove that you're his granddaughter to the companies? That's what you are you saying?
I have his photographs.
Okay.
And it's just that I was left with a good few photographs, and I wanted to give them to the cousins because I'm not his name.
I understand it. Yeah.
His name didn't carry on with us. But so I was trying to, do a few drawings and paintings, and I said, I'll have a look at that. I can't get the detail of the gun. So it was when I looked at the gun, I found that that was my granddad. And every single thing is him. The belt, how it was buckled, and he was a small stature man.
But do you think you should get it for free?
Well, I haven't. I just don't think they should be selling it without some kind of family permission.
Okay.
I mean, you could sell anything then.
Yeah,
I mean,
what do they say?
They said that they'd sell it to me for 96.
And do you know who else? Euros. Do you know who else is in it?
No, I don't know the other man. There's another man standing beside him, but I have.
And you see, we can't put this up now because they own it. We can't put this up and say, can you? Unless you send us your photograph.
Yeah. And I have him there when that was before there's a cart beside him.
I see the cart, yeah.
And that was before he went up on the steps to pose.
Okay,
well,
if you have an original photograph and you give permission, we'll try and find out who else is in the photograph.
Yeah, no matter what you want, that site has every photograph. Belong to everybody.
Okay.
You know. So I just think that I'm also involved in something else, which is copyright tricky. But I just think that, you know, the only reason that they'll take it down is that they were found out. But they'll go ahead and sell it.
Yeah, but they're running a legitimate business. But anyway, okay. Thanks indeed. Thanks indeed. Talk to you later, Christina.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
It was heard by Richard Byrne, Jamie Doyle and Liam Mullen on sound. Shanna Gorm produced. Rebecca Meehan is the series producer. And Catherine Thomas is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. For more on our 212 offers, visit your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
1850 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.